The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God. And on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Oh, my. Welcome back. Hope you had a great weekend. I keep asking myself today, how did I end up at a point in my life where the youngest of our four children started senior year in high school today? Please, Lord, slow it down. But then there's the kingdom, and eventually I'll be in heaven, and heaven will come down here, and quite frankly, that can't get here soon enough, but in the meantime, life goes on. Welcome back. Hope you had a great weekend. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. You guys in video games, not a normal match, right? Most of us, most of you are my age. You're probably about my age. I'm 56, so maybe you're in your 40s, a couple of you like Hayden's down there in the 20s. And then a lot of you in the 60s and 70s even. So video games really aren't your thing, but they're obviously the younger generation's thing. And the question is, do we ever have a Christian alternative to video games? Like a good, engaging video game, this one, and in the case of today in this interview I'm going to play for you, Tim Cleary, the creator of Etherlight, and I'll spell that for you later, Etherlight, which is really targeted at preteens, pretty much 8 through 12 years of age, and the whole family can play. And a buddy of mine, Dave Jones, we've done a lot of ministry partnership together and partnership here on the air, done a lot of things. They've helped develop my website, for example. So if you've ever been to thestevenobleshow.com, you can thank my buddy Dave Jones and his team over there at M is Good. And so they introduced me to Tim, and here's the interesting thing. I'm going to play the first part. We got three parts of this interview, and then I'm going to interact with it a little bit here and there. And then we'll talk to David Fisher in the fourth segment. The market was down 1,000 on Friday, down 100 today, so a lot to talk about there. But talking to Tim Cleary, it took a little while for us to figure it out because he's in New Zealand. So get this, last Thursday, get ready to start this, Josh. Last Thursday, 5 p.m. here in Raleigh, North Carolina, 5 p.m. Eastern time last Thursday, was 9 a.m. New Zealand time Friday morning. How bizarre is that? So we were able to work it out and talk to Tim, and he was just starting in this interview talking about how things got going with Etherlight, this video game, A-E-T-H-E-R-L-I-G-H-T, Etherlight. TheEtherlight.com is the website, and I put it up on Facebook already. And just talking about how it got started, and then they rough water, and then they came back, and what the Lord has done and what it's all involved. For if you have children or if you have grandchildren that are in that like 8 to 12 or 13 or 14 year range, and you want them to play a video game that actually has a message and a biblical worldview, this is one for you. So let's start the interview. This is talking to Tim Cleary from New Zealand just recently.
And I had to move from my home that we had purchased in Franklin, Tennessee.
Oh man!
We had a 1 month old baby, and wow, Everything went bad, and the whole project died. And miraculously, through the generosity of people, we've been able to recommence the project. And so, just the fact that we're doing this interview is a miracle. I'm now a full time pastor. Wow. A pastor at church here in Auckland, and I guess I do this as something I'm super passionate about on the side. Now this has become my side hustle,
yeah,
which is so crazy because it was my life for so long. But the mission is still of vital importance, and so we're in this incredible phase, again miraculous phase of rebuilding now, and continuing the work. Yeah,
because it's as most followers of Christ as our lives should be, it should be very holistic. There's like all these different,
yeah,
aspects of our lives and different seasons. I mean, I've been on the radio since 2007. I teach high school age homeschoolers now. I've got about 155 students. I just started teaching again this week. I've been teaching for 11 years. And so all these different things. But before, Tim, I was running a house painting company.
And yeah, so exactly. Isn't it crazy?
I was trying to run a house painting company to the glory of God, which sounds kind of like a contradiction in terms. But nevertheless, you have to be willing to go where the Lord takes you. And when he shuts one thing down and you do another. But have you always had a passion for, like, I know there's the companion Bible and
Aetherlight, which is the video game we're going to talk about. But have you always kind of had a passion for the arts, Tim?
Yeah, so I think for me, I've always had a passion for anything imaginative. Mm. I don't know any other way to live than probably in my head, you know, in fantastic spaces. And so for me, I grew up reading Tolkien and C.S. Lewis and all these people, and I almost immediately saw Christ in those stories.
Yeah,
and so for me, it was a no-brainer to come to this and go, you know what, we could do this for 21st century kids through the medium of video games, for sure, because they are just the storytelling medium of this generation.
Oh, exactly right. I mean, that's where they are when Paul goes to a new town. He goes to the marketplace. He goes to the synagogue. Yeah. He ends up like at Mars Hill. Hey, where are people having conversations? Where are they congregating?
Yeah.
And for us as Christians, that's where we need to go.
And when it's video games or TikTok, mate, I'm going to pick video games every time.
Yeah, so let's where was kind of the genesis, and I know that sounds cheesy, but the genesis of Aetherlight, which is the video game we're talking about, sure. That people can check out at aetherlight.com. You guys are all going to start hearing commercials about it here on the show. Aetherlight.com. That's A-E-T-H-E-R, aetherlight.com. How did that start?
Look, it started over 80 years ago in rural New Zealand, which sounds ridiculous. This is a video game project, not a farming project. But it started as a farming project. There was a man by the name of Robert Laidlaw who had a mail order catalog that he used to furnish and look after farmers in rural communities. They would buy their toaster, their couches, whatever they needed, these farmers could use the farmers' trading company and their mail order catalog to get that stuff. Mm. And some of these guys were really rural. He realized that these people who were so rural probably also couldn't get to church. And so he began a thing called the Postal Sunday School Mission. You know, the postal system was cutting edge technology back then.
Wow.
It was getting mail into the hands of people. And so it essentially became a correspondence Sunday school. 80 years on, kids no longer play between their house and the letterbox.
That's right.
Right? They play in different playgrounds now. So many of them are online. And so the nonprofit that looked after this work of the Postal Sunday School Mission looked at everything they had going on and said,
amazing. Pretty amazing story. We're going to pick it up there when we come back right after this. Started 80 years ago. Today it's a video game. So hit the pause button. We'll be right back with Tim Cleary talking about Aetherlight. We'll be... Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, carrying on with an interview I did last Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern time here in the studio in Raleigh, was 9 p.m. a.m. Friday morning in New Zealand with Tim Cleary, who is the creator of the video game, Christian video game called Aetherlight. That's A-E-T-H-E-R-L-I-G-H-T. It's theaetherlight.com. It's also available on like the Apple Store, the Google Store, where you get your regular apps. At the App Store, you can get it there. TheAetherlight.com is the website, A-E-T-H-E-R-L-I-G-H-T. And we're going to pick it up there with my interview from Tim, a Christian video game. And I know most people our age are like, you're probably like, I hate video games. They're so violent. They're so godless. Not this one. This one is not godless. It builds a Christian worldview. And the whole family can play it. Let's pick up there. We're talking to Tim Cleary.
We've got to pivot. We've got to change, and brought in a whole lot of young guys, myself included. I'm not so young anymore. To explore what it would look like to create a video game, to take the story and the power of the story of Jesus Christ as laid out in Scripture, and retell it for a digital generation through a video game. And so we created a steampunk virtual world in which the story of God and our part in that story play out in this kind of fantastical world.
All right, so my audience is pretty much my age. I'm 56. Now, my oldest son is 27. He lives in San Francisco. He works for EA Games.
So there you go. Yeah.
So he went to he went to Full Sail University down in Orlando. So I, when you say steampunk, I know exactly what you're talking about. But the vast majority of my audience is like, steam who? So what is steampunk, which is kind of the flavor, the style of Aetherlight, the Aetherlight game, which we're talking about. But how do you explain that to people so they can begin to kind of get a visual for it? And by the way, everybody, if you have children or grandchildren that love video games and you're trying to raise them in the faith, this is a confluence of that, okay? So this is a great opportunity to get them to use the one world that they're in already, to get them into the world, to grow in their faith through an opportunity like this. So if you want to see it for yourself or show your son's daughter, your grandson, granddaughter, aetherlight.com is the website. But what is steampunk? Let's start there.
Yeah, so steampunk is fantastical. It's fantasy, often Victorian in its nature, where steam becomes the dominant power source. So rather than electricity, what if we actually just took steam to its highest zenith of power? And so there's airships and there's clockwork automatons, and steam is the power source rather than moving to electricity or something like that.
Yeah, it's a throwback kind of the early days of the Industrial Revolution. And then what's the storyline behind Aetherlight, the game?
Yeah, so the story's told of a man who was who created this incredible space. There's a fog that invades this space, and that fog is sinister, it's corrupting, it's cruel. So the great engineer, this man, creates great engines that whir and hiss and fizz and force the fog out beyond the boundaries of the land. But many years later, Lucky, a junior engineer in the House of the Engineers, starts to think, what if I could use fog as a power source? What if I could bring that corrupting horridness from outside the boundaries of the land and use that? And Lucky stages a coup. Lucky takes over with this power source of fog. And so players find themselves in a world where the great engines no longer spin, where fog is everywhere. They find themselves in a world where automatons march the streets, keeping only the usurper's peace, and fog taints everything. Now, there's a resistance. The resistance is here. The resistance is coming, led by a man in a scarlet cloak who is both mysterious and wise. And he is teaching the resistance to understand and push past the fog and repower the great engines, pushing fog out again once more to where it should be, out beyond the boundaries of the land, and reinstating, ideally, and reinstating the process of putting the great engineer back in his rightful place. The Scarlet Man, spoilers, is our allegory of Jesus.
Yeah.
And isn't revealed yet to players. I mean, he's still very, very hooded and cloaked, and wouldn't be revealed until we got to the Gospels part of the story. Right now, we've released our kind of retelling of Abraham,
wow,
our retelling of Isaac and Jacob, and in the third part, the resistance has found itself trapped in the snow moors, and that's obviously Israel and Egypt. So we are retelling, you know, the story bit by bit and inviting players into that story.
Yeah, it's so cool. And when you go to the website, aetherlight.com, which is A-E-T-H-E-R-L-I-G-H-T, aetherlight.com, and you watch like a preview of the game, you watch the video, it's really powerful. And like it says on the website, a swashbuckling video game of the Bible where families craft, quest, and discover the biblical story together. And that's really, I keep thinking as you're talking, Tim, we're talking to Tim Cleary, who's all the way, by the way, over in Auckland, New Zealand. So even though I'm recording this, it's 5:28 p.m. on Wednesday, August 24th. What day and time is it in Auckland?
Matt, it's It's 9:30 a.m. I've just dropped my kids at school. I haven't quite had my coffee, and it's a beautiful Thursday morning.
That's so bizarre, and I just really appreciate you. I know you had some challenges getting the schedule, but it's worked out great. But that's super cool. But that we're talking to Tim Cleary, and he's over there in beautiful Auckland, New Zealand. And the thing about this, I'm keep hearing kind of Paul in the back of my head saying a couple of all things to all men that by God's grace I might win some. And that you have to be willing to get into where people are and then communicate in the way that they're used to communicating in order to get the gospel message to them. And so in the gameplay itself, this is first person. Do you play a character and you walk through the story, or how does it actually work from a game perspective?
Yeah, you get to create an avatar. So you get to create a character. But part of, I guess, what makes the way we're trying to tell this story special is you're not the hero of this story for so long. We've told young Christian people that they're the hero of the story. It's simply not right.
That's
Jesus
right.
is the hero of the story.
Amen.
He's the hero of every story that makes up Scripture. The whole book pivots on him.
That's right.
And so we had to tell a story that was compelling, but in which you are invited to participate. But you've got to keep that extremely fun. And so we really are balancing our theology and our theatrics, which is what Jesus did with parables.
Sure.
We're inviting people into a story because stories inhabit just a different part of our brain. And so when we're learning through stories, that learning isn't kind of going into our rote brain space. It's actually being stored as a memory, you know. And so these video games can be a remarkable way of teaching and exploring biblical principles that are it's so native to our young people.
Yeah. Yeah,
yet that's right. Really intimidating to us as adults often.
And that's another part of my interview this past week with Tim Cleary, the creator of Etherlight, the video game. By the way, the website, little correction, theetherlight.com is the website, theetherlight.com. That's spelled A-E-T-H-E-R-L-I-G-H-T, theetherlight.com. We're going to pick it up there with Tim when we come back. Really great news, a video game for Christians. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Is it just me? Here's one of my pet peeves. Then I'm going to get back to the interview I just did last week with Tim Cleary. He was dialed in from New Zealand, so it was Wednesday. I thought it was Thursday. It was Wednesday evening here, 5:15-ish p.m. Eastern time. It was 9:15 a.m. the next day in New Zealand. Bizarre. And he's the creator of the game is called Etherlight, Chronicles of the Resistance. The Etherlight, Chronicles of the Resistance, the website, which in my interview with him, I got the website wrong. So I'm correcting the record. TheEtherlight.com is the website. TheEtherlight.com. And Etherlight is spelled A-E-T-H-E-R. Okay, Etherlight, TheEtherlight.com. A-E-T-H-E-R is how you spell Ether. TheEtherlight.com, especially focused on preteens, but also he's got stories of whole families playing, and they each make a character, and you're moving through kind of different elements of the gospel story, and they release new periods of that, and it's a really cool game, interactive game, problem solving, things like that. But all a biblical perspective, biblical worldview, and getting it in there in the language of our young people today. So that's really cool. I'm going to get right back to that. What I was saying when I came back in was one thing that drives me nuts, because we're all our information is being sold all the time, including by any conservative website that I belong to. And the next thing you know, I start getting texts like this. Curtains closing on Senator Kennedy. Stephen. Nobody calls me Stephen. I'm getting kicked in the shins by the radical left. Could you pitch in $25? I'm like, who are you? And what are you doing on my phone? Go away. That drives me nuts. Okay, setting that aside. Can I get an amen out there? Setting that aside, talking to Tim Cleary, the creator of the Etherlight video game, The Etherlight, Chronicles of the Resistance. TheEtherlight.com is the website, A-E-T-H-E-R, TheEtherlight.com. Let's pick it back up with Tim. I was talking to him last week, and he was in New Zealand. And I'm sure one of the questions a lot of people are wondering is like, is this a violent thing? Are they fighting? Or is it quests? Is it problems to solve and kind of quiz type things? Or what all is involved in what the player does?
Yeah, so look, there is violence. I will have to say there is violence, but it's always done against automatons, the workers of the usurper. And so it's also comical in its nature. You're using, steampunk weapons, fire and ice, and even the occasional umbrella to defeat these automatons and keep them out of No Man's Landing and other locations in the game. But there's also puzzles, and there's also the way the learning works is through a character called the Postman, who bridges the divide between the world of Athasia, which is the world in the game, and our world. He is a postman. He's literally carrying messages from our world to his and back and forth. And so he will help make those connections to the scripture for you.
Cool.
Through puzzles and other adventures. So it really is kind of the game we've tried to create for all players. There's things to craft. There's things to explore. You can literally design your own outfits and color schemes and so on within the game with crafting materials that you find or win after battles with automatons. So we really have tried to create something for everyone in this thing.
Yeah, and then and just like you mentioned on the website, we're talking to Tim Cleary, and the website is aetherlight.com, AETHERLIGHT, aetherlight.com. And mentioning it's for the family, it's a parent portal, there's all kinds of ways, but this is really something that a family, the video game that a family could actually play as we try to pursue the things of God and grow that side of our knowledge and understanding. That's very uncommon, isn't it, in the gaming world? That's not really, I don't think, when my kids are playing video games, that's not usually, hey, let's get the family together.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. I think for me, I started this project when my son was born. He's now 10 years old and constantly saying, Dad, play Fortnite with me, please. So more and more young people want us as adults to kind of engage with them in the digital space and play video games and whatnot with them. But absolutely, we've got families playing this thing together and then talking about it at dinner. We've got the Companion Bible, which is amazing.
I was going to ask about that. Tell us about that, the Companion Bible. I'm looking at that on the website.
Yeah, look, it's a Bible that that just goes along with the game. It's called the Aetherlight Bible, and it is a full New Living Translation Bible with content to, again, just help make those biblical connections more explicit. And there's even spoilers in there. You can find out about some characters who aren't out yet and how they connect. My favorite is Davian. Davian is a young boy who grows up an urchin on the streets of No Man's Landing. He has a penchant, if you will, for rock collecting and bird watching.
Yeah,
right. If you've made the connection, that's David,
right?
And he's growing. He's going to grow up to be a mighty man as long as the bird watching doesn't get in the way. If you know what I'm saying.
I do know
and
what
so
you're saying.
We've done our best to keep it fun and creative.
That's so cool.
And to explore just the richness. If honestly. Steve, if we can get young people to love scripture,
yeah,
it will change the world. It will change the face of governments. It will change the future
of
nations.
Right. That's right.
It will affect everything. The family will become the center of society again. If we can get young people to engage and love the story of scripture.
That's right.
And so we're sold out for that.
Absolutely. Amen. And God's way works every time it's tried. Would you say, in terms of youth, what would you say is kind of the optimal age? Because one of the challenges we have out there is we're all digital snobs at this point. So some games
Correct.
Are more appropriate for some ages than others. But what do you think is kind of the sweet spot in terms of age for younger players?
Yeah, so I'd say 8 to 14 is really the sweet spot.
Okay.
But that said, I get more emails from mums going, "Hey, I am loving this game. Can you help me with this or
That's
whatnot?"
So, cool.
So it really has become a family thing, and so we don't even say anymore. Really, it's a game for kids. It's a game for people.
Yeah, there you
we
go.
We all enjoy it.
Nice and, wide net to throw out there. And then, what
exactly
platforms
right.
do you play on?
Yeah, so you can play on your iPhone, your Android phone, your iPad, your Android tablet, and PC and Mac. So we're running the gamut here of kind of your mobile products and your laptops and desktop computers.
That's cool. So the best way to search it, just go to your wherever you're going to get your games, or go to the like an iTunes store, the Apple store, whatever, and just put in Aetherlight.
Super simple. Yeah, just the aetherlight.com, and that'll direct you everywhere you want to go, and then search the Etherlite on the Apple Store or the Google Play Store or wherever you get, or I shouldn't say wherever you get all your other games, because you might say I don't get other games, but you will now.
Right. That's exactly right. And explain real quick, Tim, Etherlite, what the origins of the word?
Yeah, so Socrates talked about ether in his writings as this mysterious substance that made up the heavens. And so we've taken that, and the Etherlite is a battery. The Etherlite is a battery that the Scarlet Man carries that will charge. It's ultimately, I think it's grace, right? It's ultimately this thing that's
awesome,
that makes the distance so much less. It covers and restores and makes a way for us to come into relationship with the great engineer. So essentially the Etherlite is something that I think we all assume we have in us, but it actually is in the hands of Jesus. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a beautiful thought. Well, Tim, it's been great to have you on. I really appreciate your time and working with me on the schedule. And thank you so much for all the time and effort you've put into this calling that God's placed in your life, being a pastor now, but also staying involved, obviously, with the creation of Etherlite and using that medium to reach our youth. And we all need to be more involved in that. Plus, we can have some fun ourselves. So I'm looking forward to partnering with you and getting the word out there and getting people involved. But God bless you, my brother. Thank you so much for all you've done for the kingdom.
Appreciate it, Steve. It's been an absolute pleasure and so excited to meet and connect with you as well.
Awesome. Okay.
You're a legend.
So are you, my brother. All right. God bless you. Have a great day. Hopefully we'll talk again soon.
I don't Sounds know. Great, Steve.
All right, thanks.
I don't welcome. Know what's Bye-bye. Going on over there in New Zealand, but I can assure you, and you already know this, I'm no legend. I might be a legend in my own mind from time to time, but not generally, of course. But again, the website, theetherlite.com, theetherlite.com, A-E-T-H-E-R, theetherlite.com. And it's great just anytime you hear about fellow believers, and they're out there in the quote unquote real world, outside the church world, outside the youth group, outside the regular Christian channels. And again, I mentioned that earlier in the interview, but that's Paul. Paul goes to a new town. What's his first stop? Where would he go? The synagogue. Okay. So he's in the synagogue arguing from the scriptures from the Old Testament with the local Jewish people that Jesus is the Messiah. So he goes there. And then he always ends up in the marketplace. Where are people buying and selling? Just marketplace, just regular people out there. You would find Paul walking through the mall. And then he's going to show up wherever people are having in-depth conversations. Maybe the coffee shop. Maybe down at the quad at the local college, something like that. And so where people are, we go in order to bring the good news of Jesus Christ and introduce them to the God of the Bible and him in flesh, Jesus Christ himself. And so the video game is a great way to do that. And if you have young sons and daughters or grandsons and granddaughters, they love video games. Most of them do. This is another thing that is kind of, hey, there's some allegory in here. There's some metaphor in here. It's done by Christian guys. And it's really a Christian story. TheEtherlite.com. We'll be right back after this with David Fisher. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. TheSteveNobleShow.com is the website. You can search all the previous podcasts and shows we've done over the years that way, or you can get the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever, all the big ones, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them are the biggest, and you can get the Steve Noble Show podcast there. You can also join us in the studio. So if you're on the radio or listening to the podcast, there's about another 12 or 13 minutes of content that you don't hear. You have to be on Facebook Live or YouTube Live to get that. So you can just go to my page on either one of those platforms, Facebook or YouTube, The Steve Noble Show, and grab that as well. And on Monday, as we always do, a little Money Monday update with our good friend David Fisher. And again, David, thanks for being here. Thanks for sharing again last week. We just praise the Lord for what he's done in your life through your journey through health and what he's done in your heart, both physically and spiritually. It's always great to hear from you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being a brother in my life and your listeners praying for me. And it's an honor always to be on your program. I'm excited for what the Lord has in store for all of us. And
Amen.
Just thanks for having me part of that.
You're very welcome, as always. And that little intro music was talking about bulletproof. We can kind of look at that from a Christian perspective and go, yeah. But when it comes to the economy...
It's definitely not bulletproof. But before we go there, let's start in Scripture where we always do on a Money Monday update. This is a great passage. I appreciate you doing this every week, David. Luke 14, verse 28.
It says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? I think, you know, there's some obvious things we can glean
yes.
from here.
Yes, I'm smiling.
Let's talk a long, long time ago, not in a far-off land. When I was in high school, that's a long time ago,
yeah.
They didn't teach us how to, at least my high school didn't teach you how to balance a checkbook. They didn't know about, you know, how to buy a home or a loan or amortization schedule. Nothing about stocks, bonds, mutual fund. But we have a saying here, if you take care of your money now, it will be there to take care of you later.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the government missed this big piece.
Yeah.
And so, but let's bring it down to personal level. First of all, have your financial house in order. That does not necessarily always mean buying gold and silver, and that's not what I'm saying here. I'm just saying count the cost, just like when we follow Jesus, count the cost of a project, of your budget. Know what a budget is. Have your money in order, because if it's out of order, if your spiritual life's out of order, you're going to have disarray in your life.
Yeah.
If your financial environment is out of order, you're going to have disarray. So we're called to be stewards of our time, called to be stewards of our money, and you know, count the cost and make sure you are not lord over your money. You're giving that to the Lord, but you're also engaged in your money. Don't be disengaged with your money. The government's disengaged. Look at all the mess
right.
we have going on.
That's right.
It's just insane.
Yeah, and that's where it's so easy to point the white hat, a spotlight of judgment at everybody else, and especially the government when we talk about things like this. Because I think a lot of us, I mean, that's where mine goes when I hear this. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? And I immediately go to the federal budget and what's been going on for decades, if not 100 years. But this is really a personal application. It's so easy for us to wag our finger. But are we doing this personally and with our own budget, with our own investments, with our own money that the Lord allows us to be stewards over? So it's a great reminder for all of us. And as always, thank you for doing that, David. Markets were that was a train wreck on Friday. What were they, down 1,000?
The Dow was down, a little over 1,000 points. All markets were down 3 to 4%. Huge slump. Jackson Hole, Jerome Powell, he talked at Jackson Hole, Wyoming, delivered just a fatal blow. It was complete, all about being hawkish, which is just a term that's saying, hey, they're going to keep raising rates. It was very direct. It was, he made it in the opening paragraph, made it really clear that his remarks would be shorter than normal, and his message was clearly direct. Nobody should have been surprised with Powell's speech, but the markets got surprised. But it's the same thing, Steve, that all the Fed governors have been saying for the last 2 weeks, and all the board members. In essence, the market is kind of living in a fantasy land, but the Fed is going to continue to raise rates. They completely said that. And they're going to get inflation down to 2%. We're at 8.5%.
Wow.
But Jerome Powell said this is not going to, happen soon, and he's not going to back off. He made it really clear. Here's one of his quotes. He says, "While higher interest rates, slower growth, and softer labor market conditions will bring down inflation, they will also bring some pain to households and businesses. These are the unfortunate costs of reducing inflation, but a failure to restore price stability would mean a far greater pain."
So is this going to be, and that, obviously he was talking about that on Friday when everything just collapsed, because hey, this is real, we're going to keep doing this, and so there's real prices to be paid when they have to raise the rates to try to get recession under control. So between now and the rest of the year, David, are we talking bear market, bull market, up and down, roller coaster ride? What do we think is going to happen?
So the S&P continues to be in a bear market. We hit, and the S&P using it as an example, and I didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, but it's saying this on all the other radio stations that I am on weekly, that when it got to 4230, this is a technical side, it couldn't go above that. That's the 200-day moving average, and I was saying, watch out, if it doesn't get above that, we're going to go back into a bear market, a full bear market. And I said, watch for the $4,100 level to be broken through, going down, in other words. Well, it broke through it on Friday. It's down at 4,030 points. It doesn't mean it's going to go straight down because they don't go straight up.
Yeah.
But we're going to be in a retractive bear market now for some time. We're following 2001 and 2008 environments, technically speaking. And the Fed previously always came to the rescue. The Fed made it really, really completely clear they're not rescuing the market. They're not rescuing the economy. They're going to cause pain, unfortunately. So just be careful. Like I've always said, don't have 100% of your money in any market. You wouldn't do that in gold or silver. You shouldn't be doing that in stocks, bonds, or mutual funds.
Yeah, so they're going to, and saying that, and that's what he was talking about last week. Are they going to allow the stock market to go lower? Yes. Are they going to allow unemployment to rise? Yes. And that's, of course, recessive conditions trying to stop that and to take it. If they think they can get it all the way down to what, 2 or 2.5%? I mean, that's going to take a little while.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, actually, I don't think. I think the Fed is not bluffing when they say we're going to do what we're going to do.
Yeah.
But because they're saying we're going to get to 4%. But here's the deal. I've said this before, and I found some new information. So out of eight times since 1973, the Fed has tried to get inflation under control and was successful. Eight out of eight times, 100% of the time, Steve, they got the interest rate above the inflation number. In other words, for the 1970s, inflation was 18%. They used rates, got rates up to 20%.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right now, we're at 8.5% inflation. And using the math by the economist called John Taylor, the Taylor rule, the Fed's yardstick, in other words, they would have to get rates to 9.69% to tame inflation.
Whoa.
Down to 2%. It's not going to happen, but they're going to stay the course this 6 months, maybe a year, and they're going to break the economy. They're going to cause a recession. They're going to cause the stock market to pull back. They're going to cause unemployment to go up. I'm not being doomsday. They made it really clear. This is what they're going to do, but they're not going to be able to get inflation under control, raising rates only to 4%. They got to get it in the 9% range. So they're going to wave the red flag or the white flag, say, we won finally, but it's not a realistic thing because they'd be defying economic history and 100% of all the other things that they've done consistently to get inflation under control. So they're bluffing from that standpoint, but they're not bluffing in the short term.
Yeah, and that's going to come with some real cost. So what will be the effect, and what can we expect from the gold and silver market?
Well, we're going to see, unemployment go up. We're going to see interest on credit cards go up. We're going to see loans that are not secure, like ARMs on real estate, go up. Any interest rate that's not fixed, I've been saying, get that fixed. Get your debt under control. That's why I got the scripture today, because everything completely changed from last Friday.
Yeah.
We now know what's going on. Wells Fargo said gold should be $150 higher right now if it wasn't for the big uptick in the U.S. dollar. The dollar has risen 13.4%. Gold should be down like $200 more than it is. Wells Fargo is saying it should be if this wouldn't have happened, if the dollar wouldn't have gone up 13.5% almost, gold should be up about $150, $200 more.
Wow.
There's a shortage in silver. David Morgan, he's an analyst. He doesn't own a gold or silver company. He writes the Morgan Report. He's saying if you've got a long-term horizon, maybe like 10 years, I can't think of something that would be better than a silver investment. So he's saying, get ready. Silver is going to make a big move. It's going to outperform, he's saying, any stock out there. That's what he's insinuating.
Right.
I'm not saying put all your money in gold or silver, but something is getting ready to break, and we got that plan laid out on Friday.
Yeah, and so for people to go, okay, I want to know more about this. I want to understand it, because I know for a lot of people, they don't quite understand it yet. They need education. What do they do?
Simple. Just give us a call. They can call us at our company number, 844-604-2575. 844-604-2575.
And then the website, as always,
landmarkgold.com.
Got it. Thanks, buddy. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
All right, pal. Take care. Have a good one. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.